What we're going to try to do, we wanted to break for lunch at noon and then come back as soon as possible. We're going to go until about 12:15, and then we'll continue the agenda the rest of the day. The next item on the agenda is the City of Virginia Beach. That's item 7. If you recall, item 6 was deferred to July.
I'm going to miss
you. This is a formal restoration hearing for the City of Virginia Beach regarding the overdredging of the Lynn Haven boat ramp and beach facility, municipal channel situated along Crab Creek near the Lynn Haven Inlet in Virginia Beach. Can I have the lights, Kathy? It's a quick look at a vicinity map. The star denotes the general area of Crab Creek and the city's Lynn Haven disposal site. One of our state images showing the location of Crab Creek in relation to the nearby waterways. You see the Chesapeake Bay, the Lynn Haven River, Pleasure House Creek. Here's the Lesnar Bridge. Crab Creek does provide immediate access into the Chesapeake Bay and both branches of the Lynn Haven River. A little closer look, we'll see the boat ramp and beach facility here in the Crab Creek Channel. This is one of the earlier permitted drawings showing the location of the channel as permitted. The channel is approximately 2,600 feet long, 50 foot wide, with maximum depths of 6 feet. Although this permit has been modified several times, the permit is typically allowed dredging through October through February with time of year restrictions to protect shellfish and juvenile flounder. This is a staff aerial from early in March 2006. This is just a couple of weeks after the dredging was completed. We're looking at the northwest. Clearly see the area that was dredged and is maintained. And this apparently is the dredge barge that's still present. Another aerial, we're looking to the south. This is the permitted channel again, overlaying a state aerial. Late February, the city advised that the contractor accidentally overdredged this area of the channel between the two black bars. During the dredging, the city became concerned after noticing large amounts of sand offloaded. They had an intermediate survey completed, and based on those results, advised the contractor to correct his controls before continuing. It's another aerial, and to point out, we're talking about this area here, coming around the corner and heading back north. These are some ground shots showing the approximate area of the overdredging. We're looking southeast towards the turning basin. This is actually on the western side of the disposal area in the restricted area. We're looking directly at the turning basin in this area. Again, this is the turning basin looking from the eastern shore of the disposal site. And one last shot showing a boat traveling northward up the channel towards the bridge. One last shot of the permitted channel versus the aerial. Excuse me. Salmons, Inc., the contractor, says that this was simply an operator error due to improper calibration of a tidal gauge. With that in mind, per the city bathymetric surveys provided, staff would like to show what was dredged. And this is the pre-dredge survey performed on January 19, 2006. In blue, this is the boundaries of the existing channel, permitted channel. And we remember that the permit was authorized to a maximum depth of 6 feet mean low water. During the pre-dredge survey, the results show that a good portion of this section of the channel is already at 6 feet or deeper. As we compare this to the post-dredge survey, performed February 23, 2006, after dredging of this area had been completed, we see that almost the entire area has been dredged deeper than 7 feet. Furthermore, a good portion has been dredged to 8 feet or deeper, as denoted by the orange color. That shows up as a bit of a pink, but the orange color. And then we have a few pockets of 9 feet mean low water. The city has confirmed that they will not pay the contractor for anything dredged deeper than 6 feet. This was not a part of their originally agreed contract. And of the total 6,500 cubic yards estimated to have been dredged, approximately 2,000 cubic yards was taken below 6 feet mean low water. Per Salmons, Inc., this additional work cost him by exceeding the city contract cost. And this is the last aerial. Again, this is the area that's overdredged, starting here, coming in the turning basin, and going about halfway up the eastern side of the channel. Worth noting that DEQ has issued a notice of violation and is currently proceeding with their enforcement procedures. Can I have the lights, Kathy? In reviewing past requests to maintenance dredge this channel, VIMS has stated that Crab Creek is an integral part of the Lynnhaven River ecosystem, which supports numerous commercially important finfish species, including and in particular summer flounder. Therefore, dredging much deeper than the permit allows or the necessary to accommodate boat traffic should not be taken lightly. Although the city and contractor claim there was no intention to overdredge the permitted channel, staff is concerned why areas of the channel and turning basin were dredged so deep, in some places up to 3 feet deeper than the maximum allowed depth. Furthermore, according to the pre-dredge survey, several areas of the channel and turning basin were already at depths of 6 feet or greater. These areas should not even have been considered for maintenance dredging in the first place. Unfortunately, Salmons, Inc. has a recent history of dredging discrepancies and disregarding the authority of this commission to permit the appropriate use of state-owned bottom. As recently as last month, the commission considered numerous problems associated with the Tanner's Landing project in Norfolk. Given that this appears to be solely an error by the contractor, not the applicant, staff recommends that significant civil charges be considered for the contractor of up to $10,000 for each violation in lieu of further enforcement as permitted by Section 28.2.12.13 of the Code. While staff does consider this violation to have resulted in a significant degree of environmental impact, it is definitely a major degree of deviation and noncompliance. Clearly, Salmons, Inc. has violated the conditions of a commission permit and could be subject to the assessment of civil penalties by the appropriate circuit court in amounts not to exceed $25,000 per day per violation. By code, the city is exempt from royalties for the permitted dredging, but the contractor is not exempt for dredging deeper than the permitted depth. As such, staff also recommends the assessment of triple royalties to Salmons, Inc., in the amount of $3,564 for the unauthorized dredging of 1,980 cubic yards of material at the maximum allowable rate of 60 cents per cubic yard. That concludes the presentation. I'm available for any questions.
Any questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins?
Did the contractor participate in a pre-dredge conference, and if so, was there any tolerance established for overdredging?
The original permit had no overdredge tolerance. It was a maximum of 6 feet mean low water. It's my understanding that the city did meet with the contractor before beginning, and we received a notice that the work would begin in January.
Do we normally meet with those?
In some cases, yeah. We do when we're notified. This particular case, some of the larger dredging operations, as long as we get a notice from the city or from the applicant, in some cases we will not.
Can you explain what this, what is the significant, you say it's a significant degree of environmental impact?
Well, I think staff's opinion is that any time that large quantity of sand is removed beyond the permitted depth, there's a significant environmental impact.
But what is it? What is it?
It's the removal of the sand itself and the habitat that it supports. And that's my opinion, or staff's opinion. We could certainly consult with VIMS for that.
I mean, what are you saying? It takes out animals?
My opinion, yes, sir. It disturbs the habitat, the natural habitat.
I thought that was the purpose of the time of the year. Did they violate that, too?
No, they did not violate the time of year restriction. You may want to consult with VIMS about the additional dredging disturbance as it relates to environmental impact.
Could you explain that to us, please?
That wasn't the actually wording in our specific report, but Justin is correct. The generally dredging impacts we look at as temporary because they will go away over time. you do remove the benthic infauna that is a source of food for that area, and that is a very important area, the very mouth of the Lynn Haven. We have surveys showing juvenile summer flounder. Excuse me. That is a nursery area. So it's a question of scale, actually. Very locally, it is, it would take longer for the benthic infauna to restore itself to where it can support the juvenile flounder there the deeper you go. So it is a question of scale in space and time for the entire Lynn Haven system. But we do agree that in the area of the dredge, it was
What's the significance of the time of the year again?
That generally is when the juveniles are actually present, and I do not think that occurred.
No, it appears that they dredged within the permitted time frame. The time of year restriction is from March to October.
But then again, we aren't just focusing on juveniles. That is our primary concern in that area, but they're also adults.
So the depth, the extra inch or foot, didn't make any difference as far as the animals that were, as far as the flounder directly, but indirectly with whatever was on the bottom. That is correct.
You've removed that habitat that supported the food source in that area for some amount of time before it is restored naturally.
No, thank you.
I like this.
All right, you've got Mr. Garrison and Mr. McCleskey.
Lyle, when you over dredge, say an average of 8 feet, 2 feet, 3 feet, whatever, that's going to mean longer year before the inlet washes back in, correct? So you've got longer recuperation period. And I guess the pointed question is, it's kind of like the end, we have deliberately overdredged to get overkill and been allowed to do that in small areas where we could actually dig the hole deeper. We keep digging that every year, so we dig it deeper. And with that way, it's longer time to recuperate, but we have to go back and redredge. Is some merit there?
I'm not real clear on the exact question.
All right, suppose you had 6 foot, he did stay at 6 foot level, okay. He went, let's say he went there average of 7, 1 foot too deep. So he's been, this is what all this proposed penalty is about, over dredging deeper. I'm saying that to arrive back at 6 foot or keep that, it's going to take longer in time to fill that over dredging back in. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
You want to come back as often. You're not allowed in the flounder spawning season, whatever. You're allowed on certain times of year. But to me, with the environment, it'd clean it up a longer period of time with overdredging. There's some factors there that we have to weigh against each other.
Well, you are correct, and we look at that when we assess a project. We are very concerned about continuous impacts to that area, dredging too often. So an overdredge we do not recommend against overdredging in certain cases. In this particular case, what you're talking about, we look at on a location-by-location basis, depending upon the material. Here, it's primarily sand. In many places, you have changes in material, such as going to silt mud or sometimes even hitting clay, which is not very good. So in this case, we view the restoration of the benthic infauna due to it being primarily sand will probably be much quicker. However, you have taken away a food source at a very prime location in this watershed. Okay. For what amount of time, we can't answer that.
But there's not an animal eating that food source at that period of time when it's taking place.
Well, we have adult fish that do feed in the infauna and crustaceans that do feed in that area. Yes, sir.
In that time of the year?
They can move to other places locally, of course. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you said the time of the year.
That was for the juveniles. There are adults and crustaceans and other estuarine fauna that do.
What are they? I'd like to go down there sometime because I can't catch no fish in the wintertime unless I'm south. But anyway, that's all right. Mr. McCleskey.
I think partly answer my question is you must prefer to have less frequent dredging, maybe, if you have to go maybe 2 or 3 feet over dredge in this sandy area.
Well, again, that's in a location and time dependent area, but in this area, I don't disagree with with staff's assessment of this based on our comments. No, we just can't answer the question on how soon this area will restore to where it was intended to restore from the original.
Well, this particular channel has been very, very hard to maintain. It frequently sands in.
We understand that. We've dealt with it the same amount of time as you have.
And one hypothetical question. If you're going to dredge 2 feet and disturb the surface, will another 2 feet be materially affecting the habitat?
Well, again, that hypothetically, it depends on the local dynamics, the material that is dredged up and 2 feet beneath. If it changes the material, you will change the character of the bottom, which will change the end fauna composition, which can. Yeah.
I was referring to this one because we got right substantial fine recommended, and this is in sand, and as you say, sand, so it's not mud. You go down 2 feet or 4 feet, it's all the same material.
Exactly. Well, maybe I can answer it this way, because this system does not want to be 9 feet deep. It does not want to be. That's why we have to continually dredge the area to maintain what the use that has been decided on is. The deeper it goes, the longer it seems to want to take to fill in. But you have continual fill-in because it does not want to be 9 feet. So you have nothing that can equilibrate. You go to 9 feet, you have infauna moving in. They're going to be covered up. You have to have another restoration to where you get to where it wants to be. So that's hypothetical. From a hypothetical question, I guess that's the best I can answer.
Well, I suggest that the boaters are bending their propellers in there. I would like to see it 9 feet.
If I had a boat that deep, I guess I would too.
Would that fill in if it would eventually?
Well, it's a very dynamic area. I would assume that there has been a natural channel maintained, and historical aerials show the channel moving somewhat. But
any other questions for Carl and the applicant? The city, I guess. Is the city represented? Or?
Yes, the city, the coastal engineer from the city is here, as well as Mr. Salmons and his attorney. Staff would just like to point out that given the discussion about the overdredging, the permitted maximum depth was 6 feet. And according to the city and the contractor, they were trying to comply with that, although they did not. So I just wanted to point that out, that is per the permit, the maximum depth it could be.
I don't have any question at all about the noncompliance. Okay. I have a question about the environmental impact.
Understand.
I'm just having a
just
hard
point
time
to point that out.
With saying, getting that in my mind. And I'm sure there's something there because law says it is.
May I have a question?
Yes, indeed.
You mentioned something about $25,000 a day. How do you count the days on overdredging? I mean, is it $25,000 a day until it silts in and comes back up to 6 feet?
I don't know that I could answer that. I'd probably have to speak with either Bob or Carl about that if it went to court.
Mr. Joseph.
Yeah, my best guess at this point would be the days of violation, the days that the overdredging is being
the digging
accomplished.
Okay. All right.
All right. We won't determine that here today. That's for the court to determine. All right. Anyone from the city of Virginia Beach would like to address the commission? Where testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you God.
Yes, sir. Yes,
state
sir.
Your full name and position.
I'm Michael Kay with the city of Virginia Beach. I'm a coastal engineer there. And I really don't have a whole lot to add to what Justin said, other than this is an extremely dynamic area. I have not done a recent survey there, but we have already seen the mouth over by the bridge has already started to silt in. So.
Well, when you hire a contractor, do you check on them at any period?
We do low bid, and unless they have a problem that we are aware of or have a reason to exclude them, no.
Any other questions?
Yes,
Mr. Garrison?
That's a mighty strange situation. I've always had inspectors when I was building roads and paving streets and whatnot. Inspectors are with me all the time. You didn't have anybody go out and check anything?
Oh, no, we had an inspector out there. He stopped out every day, and that's the reason we ended up doing the interim survey.
He was there every day, and he couldn't take a stick and check the depth of the water?
Well, he didn't check the depth. He just monitored them, and they were required to keep track. And we, as I said, as we saw too much material coming out, we did a survey to make see where they were at and what was the...
Now, at what point in time did you see this material? Was he half done, a quarter done, or two-thirds done? Or?
He was about half done.
Half done.
And we realized that there was more material coming out than we had estimated.
Was the other half at 6 foot mean low water, or did you keep on digging?
We stopped him as soon as we found out that he was digging too deep, and the rest of it was done correctly.
The rest of it did correctly. Okay. It just looks like there's some responsibility on the city's part here to let the contractor know he was too deep. And you got halfway through the project before you said you got halfway done before you said, whoa, you're too deep.
Well, that's when we realized he was going when he was going too deep.
Anyone want to check?
Yeah. Were you present at the pre-dredge conference?
Yes, sir.
And when it measured that it was 6 feet of water in that area, was there any discussion of, well, we don't need to dredge here?
What we do is we get a pre-dredge survey,
mm-hmm.
and based on the pre-dredge survey, that's given to the contractor and shown where he needs to dredge. We monitor him as far as where he's at mm-hmm. in the channel. We do not send anybody right out there to check the depth every time.
But so with the pre-dredge conference and the survey, he was well aware that that was already at the 6 foot limit.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is if he's at that area and sand's coming out the chute, he should have realized something was wrong.
Well, it's a mechanical dredging, which means he's digging with an excavator.
Right.
There was areas along there that, although they were parts of it didn't need to be dredged, there was areas along the edge that did need to be dredged. So it was not, he was not anywhere he wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Back when this original dredging was permitted, I may be wrong, but I believe that the material coming out of the channel was to be hydraulically placed on the bay front.
Correct. The original permit was.
Has that been modified?
It's been modified so that we can either hydraulically dredge it to Ocean Park or mechanically dredge it and put it into the Lynn Haven disposal site.
All right. Thank you, sir. As we heard in the city, is the contractor here or his representative?
Good afternoon. Again, my name is Tim Hayes with Hunton and Williams. I have Jim Sammons, the contractor, and J.R. Seeley, who actually did the dredging, are here and would be happy to answer any questions that you all may have. But I'd like to just point out a couple of things here. The first is Justin Worrell said that this contractor has disregarded the commission's permit. I don't think there was any disregarding that went on here. The contractor, clearly there was a violation of the permit. Clearly there was error. But the contractor lost thousands of dollars on this job because of the over-dredging. There was absolutely no reason and no benefit why the contractor wouldn't comply with the permit. What happened is explained briefly in the letter that I sent to Justin a couple of weeks ago, which I believe is in your board book. And to summarize, and again, I've got the person that actually operated the equipment here who can speak in his own words, but to summarize, apparently what happened was he went out there, they set up the tide gauge. At some point during the process, the tide gauge, the piling that the gauge was on got knocked down. He set the gauge back up and went back to the boat ramp to check to make sure that his gauge was calibrated. Apparently, he felt that he was doing what he should be doing until the city surveyor came and told him that he was dredging too deep, at which point he adjusted his equipment to where the surveyor recommended. And at that point, we didn't have any more problems, as the diagram shows. It was just in that portion where the overdredging occurred, and once he found out that he was dredging too deep and corrected, we didn't have the problem. With respect to environmental harm, that channel is dredged frequently, and at least once a year, sometimes more often, because it is, as the staff said, so dynamic. In terms of there being habitat in that channel, I am not qualified to speak as to what the quality of the habitat is, but it looks to me that there's plenty more habitat right next to it. So I really have not heard, at least not to me, any convincing evidence that there's significant environmental damage. See, what we had here was we had a mistake that was corrected when it was found. The mistake has cost the contractor a lot of money. He had no intention of disregarding or disobeying the permit. It would have been foolish to have done so intentionally. I'll be happy to answer any questions as best I can, but as I said, I've got Mr. Sammons and Mr. Seeley here.
I have a question. Approximately 2,000 yards were removed beyond the allowable depth. What was the contract price per yard for the $6,469? I think he stepped out.
Oh.
How much? $18 a yard. Okay. So you and the city denied payment on the 1,980 yards over, is that right?
I can answer that part of the question. He didn't get paid.
Yes, sir. He did not get paid for anything over.
And, and how many days did it take to dredge that amount of material?
I don't have that information, but it was approximately a month or two.
So he was working for about a month with this gauge problem.
Sir,
what?
I'm sorry, Michael K.
So you were dredging, and he's over, and you say $18 a yard was the thing. So he's over $36,000 worth of material you can get paid for.
Correct.
The cost of material was $36,000. He did not get paid for. I wanted the board to make sure that was clear what his contract was. His contract was for $6,469. Now, he had overhead and profit in that price of dredging, so it wasn't that. What's his dead cost? He's back yet? There you go.
Come up, please, and answer some questions. This is Mr. Jim Sammons.
Yeah, would you raise your right hand, sir? We swear you in. I'm going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, except you got.
Yes, sir.
State your name.
Jim Sammons.
Jim, I was trying to find out on the 1,980 yards, they say 2,000 yards overdredging,
yes,
that you had. What did that cost you to overdredge that and dispose of it in dollars per yard or total dollars? You got a cost of $18 a yard due to $6,469.
We figure it cost us $8,000 or $10,000 over plus our profit that we would have made on the contract.
Plus what?
Plus the profit we would have made.
Yeah, right. But your dead cost in time and lost time, rental on your equipment, what did it cost you? $8,000 to $10,000 what it cost you to overdredge.
Over, yes.
On your arrow.
At least.
Yeah, okay. Is that a comparable figure you could use? $10,000 to overdredging? It's your error?
Yes, sir. I mean, we can't blame it on anybody else.
Yeah, it was all your... And do you know, I'm concerned that the city didn't give you proper inspection. Did you ask them to come down and check behind you when you were dredging?
Sir, I can't lay it on the city. It was... We really don't know how we got off.
Yeah, two heads is better than one, and a good inspector can be very, very helpful.
Yes, sir, but I'm not going to lay it off on the city.
Yeah.
Oh.
It would appear that the city wasn't there when it should have been.
We have done several jobs in the last 4 years, and we've been snow white, and I don't have to tell you the last couple months here not been too good to me. So... In other words,
you had more work than you could look after properly?
Well, I hope that's not the case, but it sure
seems to be.
A good couple months,
okay.
I can tell you that.
Any more questions?
Yes,
sir. Mr. Fox, and then Ms. Schick.
What is the tidal difference at this location?
About 3 feet, I think.
3 feet?
Yes.
And I guess someone asked earlier, but I'll ask again, did you have a 6-foot stick so you could measure the depth that you were dredging to and didn't have to...
They have a measuring stick on the piece of equipment, yes.
Okay, so the operator knew that he was over-dredging.
Well, Well, no, sir. He didn't know he was over dredging because, I mean, it cost me a lot of money. I mean, I've never had any problems with Mr. Seeley before. He hasn't done a lot of dredging, but the dredging he did a real good job. He's mostly been on construction equipment on land. But I just don't know what happened in this case. I mean, I can't offer an excuse because we don't know, neither one of us.
Mr. Schick.
Yes, I was inquiring about the calibration. The reason was is the tide gauge was calibrated. Something went awry there for a month period, or
we do not know for sure. Well, the tide gauge was the cause of it, or what? But he hadn't been there long, in a couple days, and he hit the tide gauge and broke that pole. We had to replace it, and. Well, he went to the other side, he tells me, and which you can ask him about it, too. But he tells me he went to the other side. There's, on the other side of the island, there's a tide gauge. And he tried to take and go by that one and set a new one up on the other side. Now, whether the other one is right, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But we just don't know what happened. Right. I can't sit here and make excuses. We don't know.
As an owner, have you figured out a way to maybe check on the situation so it doesn't happen in the future?
Well, somebody said send somebody out there with a stick. I think that's the policy we're okay. following now.
All right. Anyone else? Counselor, did you have anything you wanted to say to the commission?
Nothing except that I do think this was that looked like the microphone. That's a This clearly was, I think, an innocent mistake. It should have been caught earlier, but Mr. Sammons has owned up to the mistake. He's already paid dearly for this mistake. He's done dozens of dredging jobs over the years without these kinds of problems, and the word snake bit comes to mind. And I really do think that this case was an isolated example of what can go wrong, but it clearly was no attempt here to disregard the commission's authority. There was no intent to cause any damage. There was no intent to do anything here to get in front of the commission in an enforcement case. And so I would ask that, given what this has already cost him, that the commission look at this case more leniently than recommended by the staff and consider its approach. And with respect to the other request that we had sent to the commission with respect to the Tanner's Landing incident, it's a little awkward, obviously, to be in front of the commission on one enforcement case and ask you to modify your decision in a previous enforcement case that was made the month before. But I do ask, and we would not have made the request if I didn't think that there was good grounds for that request. I do ask that the commission review the recommendation in the Tanner's Landing case with respect to the referral to the Board for Contractors, because in Tanner's Landing, I think all the evidence shows that Mr. Sammons was acting as a subcontractor in that case, not as a general contractor. He ordinarily acts as the prime contractor. He had asked the general contractor, or when he had been approached by the general contractor to do the work at Tanner's Landing, he told them right up front that he could not do the job the way that they had proposed it, which was to take the material to Craney Island, because he said he wasn't set up to go to Craney. He said, the only way I can do this job is to go to an upland disposal site. A couple weeks later, he was told by the site manager for the general contractor that everything had been taken care of and he could proceed to work. The general contractor had been the one that went to the pre-dredge meeting, not Mr. Sammons, as would have normally have been his practice if he had been the prime contractor. And so Mr. Sammons, following the advice of the site supervisor in that case, went to the upland site. Clearly, he violated the wetlands law. He violated the permit. The city of Norfolk has penalized him $16,000 by the Wetlands Board. You all have hit him with a $15,000 civil charge. He fully understands that he violated the permit. He violated the wetlands law. He's willing to make amends for what happened. But in terms of referring him to the Board for Contractors, I don't think we've got any contractor misfeasance here. We do have a contractor that's had a good track record in the past. I mean, we don't have some kind of a cowboy here. And so we would simply ask that in exchange for Mr. Salmon settling this case for the payment of the civil charge, that that recommendation be withdrawn. That's all I have to say about that. I'll be happy to answer questions, but I really do ask that the commission review this decision and change it.
Thank you, Ken.
Any other questions for Mr. Hayes? You've heard Mr. Hayes' presentation concerning both issues. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would think that we could handle these separately. I think we could go ahead. My inclination would be to go ahead and handle this case before us and then go back into closed session perhaps to discuss the proffer.
You have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this case, I would move that we I think the question is one of degree in terms of environmental impact. There's no question there was a violation of the permit, but I think the question is the degree of an environmental impact. And I would offer that we accept staff's recommendation that the triple royalties be assessed in the amount of $3,564 for the unauthorized dredging of 1,980 cubic yards of material, and that a fine in the amount of $2,000 be assessed for the dredging violation.
Second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion to the motion?
I'd like to question. You're saying $3,564 plus $2,000?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Pruitt?
Dr. Jones, to the motion.
Since I'm a short timer here.
You don't know that yet.
I would like to address this issue for the record. I really do. I am deeply concerned that the bay is losing habitat in a death of 1,000 small cuts. And I've said that before. But you also, and you all know that I support staff. I believe in supporting staff and staff's recommendation. But I also think you have to also address the issue relative to what you see before you. And here is an area that's regularly dredged. It is clearly disturbed on a periodic basis, and so we're not dealing with a pristine site where they've dug it into the wetlands. This will fill in. Although I have personally been out there sampling juvenile flounders, I really cannot get exercised about the loss of this habitat. I don't think this is one of the 1,000 small cuts.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Any other comments to the motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. All right, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this meeting be recessed and that the commission immediately reconvene in closed meeting for the purpose of discussion, consultation with legal counsel, and briefings by staff members pertaining to actual probable litigation or other specific legal matters requiring legal advice by counsel as permitted by subsection A, paragraph 7 of section 2.2-3711 of the Code of Virginia pertaining to last month's decision concerning Salmon's Inc.
A second to that motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? All right, we'll be in closed session for just a brief period of time, and then we're going to come back out here, and Mr. Hayes will then address your whatever the board has will impart to you, and then we'll recess for lunch and be back in open session to finish the agenda no later than 10 after 1.
Finish the agenda by 10 after
1. All right, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whereas the Commission has convened a closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative recorded vote and in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas Section 2.2-3712D of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by this Commission that such closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore the Commission hereby certifies that, to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Virginia law, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting by the Commission.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Motion. Mr. Holland, second.
Mr. Badden.
Aye.
Mr. Fox.
Aye.
Mr. Garrison.
Aye.
Mr. Holland.
Aye.
Dr. Jones.
Aye.
Mr. McCleskey.
Aye.
Mr. Robbins.
Aye.
Mr. Schick.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. All right, thank you very much. Now, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's see. At this point, I would move that the letter to the board of, well, first of all, I would move that we reconsider our decision from last month's case concerning Salmon's Inc.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Second to that, Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Any abstention? All right, that case is reopened.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I would move that the letter to the Board of Contractors that we recommended at last month's meeting be held for a period of 3 years, and that Salmon's Inc. be on a probationary period with this commission for that period of time. And in the event of any other violations of permits issued by this commission, that the or any other violations of regulations under this commission's jurisdiction by Salmon's Inc., that the letter in that case would be sent to the Board of Contractors. Furthermore, that the payment as offered by the applicant's counsel be required within 7 days for that violation.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Any further discussion to the motion?
Yes, sir. Yes. I've got a question.
Mr. Garrison and Mr. Schick.
Mr. Robbins, in your motion, their contractors could have very minor offenses. Could you stipulate some condition there that the offense according to staff would be major or minor or in the middle? I think this is necessary. It could be some minor infraction, you know, that he just messes up then.
I think we could amend the order to say that in the event of a violation of any regulation under this board's jurisdiction, that the matter would be referred back to the commission for action.
Right. Mr. Holland, accept that.
Accept that.
Explanation. All right. Mr. Chair. Does your motion provide for that if the funds are not here and secured within 7 days, that the letter would be forwarded to the board?
That would be a requirement, that the payments are received within 7 days. Yes, I think that is fair. If that's not the case, then the letter would go forward.
All right. Mr. Hayes, you heard and understand the motion? All right. Thank you, sir. All right. That was Mr. Hayes speaking. And did you get what he said? Ms. Hayes, would you come up here to the mic? I'm sorry. That was my fault. Should have called you up here.
Mr. Salmon's is prepared to pay the $15,000 civil charge today. Should we give that to Mr. Grab, or do you trust him enough?
I think it's better to give it to him than I.
Just in the interest of full disclosure, I won't give it to Mr. Pruitt because he asked me to bring him a book about Ireland just before the meeting. But thank you, and I appreciate the commission's reconsideration. It's a very fair resolution. Thank you.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Carried. All right. Thank you very much. We'll recess for lunch and try to be back here at 10 after 1.
Don't we have to do this case?